Living Faith with Father Richard Umbers.
In the Gospel for Sunday, we consider a dinner that you attended, Jesus, at the behest of Simon the Pharisee, a man zealous for the law of God, a religious man, but one who had still some way to travel in his heart towards the living God. And while, Lord, you were there at dinner with him, a woman came to the door, someone who had a bad reputation in the town. And she, entering in with that jar of ointment, began with tears to cry over your feet, Lord. Dry your feet with her hair. And all the while, Simon the Pharisee thought within himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know what sort of woman this is who touches his feet. Lord, you know men's hearts. You're God. And so you say to Simon, I have a word for you. Speak, Master. You see this woman here? Since she entered, she hasn't ceased to cry over my feet, to anoint them, kiss them even. And yet you haven't given me so much as a kiss on the cheek of greeting, or water to wash with, or anointing for my head. All those aspects of common courtesy we're missing. Having told that parable about the man who was forgiven 500 denarii and the man who was forgiven 50, and of course the man forgiven more was the one who loved more. From his own words, Simon the Pharisee was instructed, because that woman, for her many sins, has loved much, and she has been forgiven much. And Simon the Pharisee, who considered himself to be at rights with God, was forgiven very little in his own estimation. He loved little. The tables were turned on the estimation that Simon the Pharisee had of that woman. It's not that we should imitate her with her sins, but we should imitate her with her love, with her contrition. Or else we too will fall into those same errors as some of the Pharisees, thinking ourselves justified because we keep the law. And all the while, Lord, what you ask from us is our hearts. Think of that prodigal son who blows everything in wild living, drinking and prostitutes. Again, it's not a question of doing the same. But our reaction should not be that of the older brother who's all upset. Why do you welcome this wastrel back? The father, who's so good, rejoicing. This son of mine, this brother of yours, was lost. He was dead, but he has come back to life. And so many who have traveled this path, I mean, their sins are punishment enough. We do ourselves a tremendous disservice when we sin. Above all, we sin against God. We offend God with our sins. But that disorder which we freely introduce into our life wreaks havoc upon us, in our soul. And if we are not able to allude to it, that's all the worse. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit to be able to see our sins, recognize them as such. Many times, this was the problem for Simon the Pharisee, and it's our own problem too if we do not sin explicitly, or rather in a way that is easily observed. When we sin against the ninth and the tenth commandment in our hearts, because it's hidden, it can be all the more insidious, all the more harmful. All that distances us from you, our Father God, our sins, our venial sins, our everyday faults, we need to confess sacramentally. We need contrition to have hearts that are cut into little bits, because we have offended a Father who was so good. And that awareness of our weaknesses, which we speak about aloud when we are on our knees in confession, which we acknowledge explicitly, which we manifest to the priest, helps us to grow in humility, to grow in union with you, Jesus. And when we make an act of contrition in our hearts, when we realize that we've been off track, but we make that act of contrition, Lord, I'm sorry for having sinned against you. With your grace, I won't sin again. We make a wonderful devotion, the best of devotions, to return to you, Lord, perhaps many times a day as the prodigal son, not to give way to our pride and to start declaring that which is sinful good. To be humble, to be honest, and to say, I have sinned. Peccavi. Just as an anecdote, those who have studied Latin will know the story of the English in India. And they were fighting. And one of the cities in India was called Sindh. When they captured it, the fellow who had obviously been a classics scholar sent a telegram back saying, Peccavi, I have sinned. To conquer our pride, to recognize that we have sinned. We say as much when we prepare ourselves for Holy Mass. Mea culpa, mea culpa, mea maxima culpa. In what I have done, in what I have failed to do, in what I have said, and in what I've thought, felt, and allowed to feel. How often, and perhaps various times in the day, we have said, let me do what I want with my share of the inheritance, the talents that have been given to me, but which I take falsely to have come from myself, or rather to treat as a plaything, without living that responsibility that we are called to. When the prodigal son reflected on his sad situation, as happens with our own selves, when, you know, there's moments when we realize that not all that glitters is gold. He thought, here I perish with hunger. I will arise, I will go to my father. And for us to be able to do that, to turn to you, God our Father, we need to recognize our failures. I have sinned against heaven and before you. We call our sins by their name. We don't seek to justify them. And we cultivate that contrition not just after a big fall, but in the reactions that we should have to the smallest negligence. And those miseries that we drag around us like a poor cat with tins tied to its tail. Will always be with us. But the attitude of the saints is to recognize not only their loneliness, but also, by your grace, Lord, that we are, each of us, capable of being saints, of responding as saints. On the basis of that humility, God, who is great, can do wonderful things with us. As Our Lady was able to magnify God, who had regarded her humility. You, Lord, count on my littleness, and from this wretchedness you draw forth something divine. You enkindle me like a coal that has been placed in a fire. Turned into a burning ember, a ruby that radiates light. How effective we are in the vineyard of the Lord when we pray, when we work, when we are obedient to the Holy Spirit. We are, each of us, marvelously effective. We do much good with our lives of fidelity. But we need to make frequent acts of contrition. The more, the better. And in that way, our weaknesses, our failures, which are so constant, will not separate us from you, Lord. If we are humble, they will draw us closer to you. As a little child cries out when it falls over, "Mummy!" When he's a bit older, maybe, you know, "Dad!" And we ourselves, when we do something wrong, big or small, we can run to God. A broken and humbled heart, O Lord, you will not despise. Well, that prodigal son was yet at a distance. The father saw him, had compassion upon him, ran to him, embraced him, kissed him. In our interior life, our union, Lord, with you is the fruit of that contrition, the humility, the joy, the strength provided against future temptation. Contrition, that essential element in their confession, is that willingness, you know, that eagerness not to sin again. With the grace of God, to detest the sin in which we have fallen. And a good confession many times improves even one's own physical well-being. Look, said it, spat out the toad that was jumping around inside me, it's gone. Forget about it, move on. More than anything else, we recover our dignity as sons of God. Quickly, bring the best robe, put it on him, that ring, put it on his hand. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and now he's found. And there begins a great feast, the fatted lamb. The deep joy of repentance, the clean suit, that deeper charity, more divine, more human. Because now we have that assurance that comes from humbly accepting our own littleness. Fatted calf, killed and eaten, making merry, because my son is alive again. And Saint Jose Maria used to say that any time that we became more aware, should become more aware that we're weak, we need to cultivate that sense of being the prodigal son, which means being a son of God with hope, because in that way, not even the battles that we've lost are really truly lost. They have helped us to be more humble. We start again. And Lord, you make use of our character. If we're contrite, if we're humble, those tasks that you have entrusted to us will be seen through to the end. At times, we're tempted to think that we're just not up to it. Truth be told, none of us is ever up to it. And that's where we need to truly convince ourselves, Lord, is on the basis of our humility that the apostolate goes ahead. That we are actually attractive to souls, not through what we consider to be our triumphs. But our fidelity to you, Lord, in the midst of our weakness. How you loved Peter, Jesus. Simon, son of John, do you love me? This to a man who had denied you openly 3 times. But 3 times, Lord, you allow him to repeat his protestation of love. Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. When we sin, like our first parents, we become ashamed, we make excuses, we try to hide. Remember St. Jose Maria as a little child, and his mum's friends would come around, and perhaps the makeup that they had in those days wasn't so good, and those old ladies had moustaches. He didn't want to have to give them a kiss because then, you know, he'd have to brush up against their moustache. And so he'd hide under the bed. And his mother would have to tap on the floor, you know, with the broomstick saying, you know, come on, Jose Maria, come out. The only thing you should ever be afraid of or hide away from is sin. You know, not sin having sin, but you know, the idea of leading yourself to sin. But once we have sinned, well, look, then we should confess it. It's painful calling things by their name. But our greatness does not come from us being Superman. It comes from being super humble. Help us, Lord, to keep up our dialogue with you, our dialogue with you, not with our own poor imagination. St. Teresa of Avila would call it the mad woman of the house. If you've ever met a mad woman, you know what that's like. And that's what our imagination is like. The source of all those idle daydreams, those suspicions, those comparisons. Why did they overlook me? How come they couldn't do that? That lack of interiority that leads us to think that everybody else is to blame. Where through pride we don't want to look at an examination of conscience because it makes us feel sad. Because every time they read something out, it was like, yep, failed in that one too. It's you, Holy Spirit, who convinces the world of its sin. What we need to do is examine our conscience, not in a routine way, but invoking you, Holy Spirit, for light. Maybe we think our sins are a trifling. Well, you know that story very well. Of the man who wanted to be paid with grains of rice. And he said, look, you know, just with one grain of rice on that first little board, little square on the chessboard. And then the next little square on the chessboard, just double it, put 2 grains. And then the next little square, just double it, put 4 grains. Okay, how about that? You pay me in that way. Of course, they were bankrupted. Because by the time, you know, things rise exponentially, you get to massive sums. We realize, you know, none of us is born a saint. We are made into saints by the Holy Spirit. And we look truly, you know, at the defects of the saints, at the lives of the saints. It's, in some ways, it's encouraging because you realize that as younger people, they did things that were wrong. They could be a bit precious. They could be envious, selfish, all the rest, like ourselves. But they are saints because they did respond heroically. And we need to learn how to radiate peace as the saints were able to do so. Praying not that things turn out in a particular way, but rather that they be solved as God wants our problems to be solved. Many times, what we need with the spirit of penance is simply to do the work that lies ahead of us, however boring that might happen to be. If we're students, studying. If we work with papers, paperworking. Imitating you, Jesus, with your feelings, who for love of souls dies on the cross humbly. And we who are fashioned from dust to dust will return. But we know that we will rise again in glory on the last day because of your work, Lord. We put ourselves at your service, Jesus. You invite us, Lord, to follow after you, to take up your cross. We have so many opportunities, occasions, every day in which to deny ourselves and to take up that cross. Ordinary, everyday struggles. Knowing that it's not enough for us simply to be good. We have to strive to be heroic in each moment. Knowing that we've got those defects, but also knowing that we can rectify. Rectifying in a real way. Serious resolutions. To love you, Lord. To respond as Our Lady did, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord." Behold ourselves before you, Lord, saying yes.
That was Living Faith with Father Richard Umbers. For more, go to cradio.org.au.